Been a joy. Have an opportunity to just stand and speak a word for the Lord. Be interesting if the author of that song you just sang took the idea from Book of Esther, such time as this. And that would be another time to preach, but now I'm going to get serious. A topic that I think that we all need to consider seriously, to spin off of what he just sang, might turn that to not just an individual, but to the church. Why we're here. We're here for a time like this. And when I began my official ministry in the fall of 1957, it was my first church. I guess I don't know when it became official. I guess the year, my senior year, after I graduated, I surrendered to be a preacher. Some people still wonder why. I sure wondered why at that time. But getting to the point, we're in a different world. We're in a different world. Not the same world it was then. And as days seem to go by, to be a Christian, to be a dedicated Christian, gets more challenging almost day by day. If you don't believe that, I don't know where you've been lately to see things that are going on around the world, things that are going on in our nation, things that are going on locally. The challenge is there. So here's, I'm to the point now, Pastor Lester. That's a good rhyme, isn't it, Pastor Lester? Okay. Jesus is the reason for this church to exist. We are in kingdom work. All things accomplished should be for his kingdom. Amen. He must be Lord of all we do. Now let me spin back to when I first came, introduced to you a thought, may it not have been new to you, but I introduced to you the thought of professionally, I am a Christian. Can you say that? Professionally, I am a Christian. Career-wise, I may be something else. I had the privilege of my career being that which was directly connected with my profession, which actually I suppose everybody's career ought to be directly connected to their profession as a Christian. So whatever I may be, if I can pick on you, if I'm a school teacher, my profession is I'm a Christian. My school teaching supports, pays for, gives me opportunity to practice my profession. Are you getting the idea? So Jesus is the reason for this church to exist. And the church is his bride. Whose bride is the church? Who? Jesus Christ. So loyalty to Christ, as far as I can see in the scriptures that I'm familiar with, loyalty to Christ is loyalty to the church.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
So loyalty to the church is also loyalty to the local church. Now I want to read a passage of scripture in the Gospel of Matthew, if you'd like to turn, Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 13. It's a story of Jesus giving his disciples a test, I guess you'd say. They'd been to school with him for some time, so to speak. They'd watched him in things that he did, and so he's bringing them along, just like he brings everybody along, by the way, to grow in a knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and to grow into the image of Jesus Christ. So in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, beginning with the 13th verse, I read, Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." See, what they didn't answer was that some said he was a wine bibber, which in our day and time, he's a drunk. He drinks. Some said he is a product of Belial. He's god of flies. In other words, they gave him the compliments that were said about it, but they didn't talk about those things that some people said. So, you know, if they mocked Jesus and they called Jesus bad names, how do we think we're going to be exempt? Now, I just tell you now, friend, if you get serious about the Lord Jesus Christ, sooner or later, you're going to want to run into somebody that laughs in your face and tells you you're crazy. They'll give you a hard time. Are your kids in school or do you homeschool? They're in school? Oh, you homeschool. Okay. Sooner or later, they're going to come face to face to some of these people out there in the world that's going to mock them, make fun of them, because they stand for Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So do the best you can to prepare them for that. Anyway, get on with the scripture reading. So Jesus asked them, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Do you notice there that he gave them a clue as to what the answer really ought to have been? I, the Son of Man, am. So they said, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said to them, now you see, here's what God, it's not what your grandma said Jesus was. It's not what Uncle Bill, I asked people about, are you loving Jesus today? Oh yeah, my great, 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 I exaggerate to make a point. Grandpa was a preacher. Well, that's several generations ago. What about you? What about you? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Anyway, he said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" That's pertinent, folks. And if I'd had the time, I might just come down there where you're sitting way back there and get right down in your face and say, "Who do you say Jesus is? Huh? Who is Jesus? Who do you say Jesus is?" You see, he gave them a clue. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He gave them a clue. Who do you say that I am? Now, Simon Peter, bless Simon Peter's heart. He was always the one that was really forward. Amen. He was forward. He a lot of time he got his mouth going before his brain was in gear. You got that? Did you get that? Explain it to him, would you? Oh, well, anyway. Are we all here tonight?
Amen.
Okay. "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ. You know what comes to my mind when I read this? It comes to my mind, old King James Version. Just seems to sound right. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you. Now for the text verse for tonight. Jesus said, I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll just say that I think what Jesus meant is his profession of the truth that Jesus Christ is Son of God is where the church is built. He's the foundation. He's the cornerstone. He's the center of any. And any church that exists, if it's really a church, that's their emphasis. Jesus Christ is the one that is illuminated. He's spotlighted. He is promoted. He is followed. He is loved. Just go on and on and on. Talk about that. If it doesn't do that, friend, it's an organization, not a church. Amen. So two thoughts come to me. More than two, but I'm going to try to discipline myself to two thoughts that come to me. First of all, well, the two thoughts are this. Organized church, what about the organized church? And secondly then, what about the local church? And I mean by that, the local church as opposed to the universal church. Okay? Not there is any opposition, but that thought. So, the organized church. I want to go back here and read from verse 18 again. Jesus said, I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build whose church? My church. Who's one talking? So whose church is it? Whose church is it? I yelled and scared one of the teenagers the other night and said, this ain't your church. This is Jesus Christ's church. Right. Amen. This is Jesus Christ's church. This is Jesus Christ Church. Now, I understand terminology. This is my church. I'm glad to be a part of it. But it actually belongs to Jesus Christ. And I have the privilege of being a part of a local church. Now, the church that I belong to, Oak Grove Baptist Church of Catoosa, doesn't see me much anymore. I'm off screeching somewhere else. But that's my home church. That's where I belong. But the church belongs to not me, but Jesus Christ. Amen. Right. So, First Baptist Church, Tallala, I don't have any idea how old you are, but you belong to Jesus Christ. I'm going to read now so that I say what I had planned to say. I have heard people say, I don't have any use for the organized church. Anybody ever heard that, Pastor? Yeah. I don't have any use for the organized church. Well, I wonder what Paul meant when he gave instructions in 1 Timothy and Titus about the officers of the church. I wonder what he meant when he gives special instructions in 1 Corinthians as to how to deal with problems that exist in your church. I had a man tell me one time, Brother Lester, if you've got a problem in the church, if you'll just preach a series through 1 Corinthians, sooner or later you'll get to your problem. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians had lots of problems. They must have had a lot of humans in that church.
Yeah.
But regardless of how many problems they had, there's still one of the churches that received a letter that is preserved for us even today. Isn't that marvelous? A letter to them. So what did Paul mean when he said this is how you deal with problems in your local church? And then when Paul reminded us that Christ is head of the church. Who? Christ is head of the church. Oh, I could get nasty here. Church is not your church. It don't belong to you. It belongs to Jesus Christ. Belongs to Jesus Christ. He's the one that shed his blood for the church, for individuals that make up the church. A church belongs then to Jesus Christ. Oh, don't take my word for it. Let's look at the scriptures. Do you believe the Bible is true? Do you believe all the Bible is true? If some of the Bible's not true, then how do we know we can believe John 3:16? I'm telling you, it's either all true or none of it's true. Hello? Amen. Accept it. And so here's what Paul writes, and it's recorded in our scriptures. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. He means the Father put all things under his feet, the Son's feet. So God put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That sounds pretty organized to me. Colossians 1:18, I read where Paul wrote, he is head of the body. Who is head of the body? Jesus Christ. Say, Jesus Christ is head of the body. The church, who is the beginning and firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence, that in all things he might be number one.
Amen.
Before everything. Especially before you and your human desires. Does this sound like an organized church to you? Does to me. Look at it, at the way he provided for each member to be equipped in the church and serve. I go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just read a portion of it. He says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. We're talking about spiritual gifts. When he said to Nicodemus, you must be born of the Spirit. Spirit comes to live within him. Then there are certain capabilities that the Holy Spirit gives to you that may or may not, David, use your talent, your physical talent. It may or may not, but then it also may include it. But everybody who is born in Jesus Christ has the capability of serving him in the capacity that he designed you to serve. Don't you say to me that all you have to do is sit in the pew. A skunk could say that if they came to church. He sits in his own pew. That went over well. Didn't give a cent. Got a skunk story, I'll tell you sometime. He gives everybody the capability of serving. Spiritual gifts, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the clear revelation, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. In other words, your gift is to help her, and her gift is to help her, and vice versa. Your gift is to help others. You are to fit in the church where you fit, and it's called a body concept. Paul applies it and relates it to the human body. He talks about a hand. The hand can't be separated. If the hand is separated, then the hand what? Dies. It's of no more use to the body. And he even talks about even the uncomely parts of the body, that which may not look like they do anything. I know a lady that feels like her ministry is to be custodian, be the custodian. And she keeps the place clean so that's her service. She feels the call of God to do that. Who am I to argue with her that that's not her spiritual gift? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everybody has a gift to serve. Where? In Christ's church. He organized it. Do you know what your gift is? You don't have to know what your gift is to serve. All you got to do is be available.
That's right.
Hello. Right. All you got to do is say, "Here, Lord, I am," and He'll use you. And maybe sooner or later, you might know what your spiritual gift is. When I use myself for an example, I don't mean to brag. I don't have anything to brag about except God, Jesus. What He chose to do. Went to the Philippines on a first mission trip. Came back, Brother Lester and I recommended to First Baptist Church Rolling Hills that we send three of the young men that I met while I was there to Bible school, to their Bible school. Recommended. We voted to do it. It cost us pennies. Pennies. Didn't cost us much at all, but we sent those three young men Bible school. They recommended to us that we set it up on a work scholarship. You remember that? On a work scholarship where the students, the three young men students, could work for the school to earn that. That way it didn't set them apart from everybody else. They were working for what they were. Yeah, so we got double our money's worth. We got them an education, but we also helped the school in the process. And the last time I talked to my translator, that was my translator when I was there, all three of those young men are serving the Lord today. Two pastors and one's an evangelist. I tell you that story because when we offered to the school to do that, the head of the school wrote me a letter, and in the letter he said, "You must have the spirit of discernment. These are excellent individuals." I never thought about having the spirit of discernment. I kind of wish he'd never even told me, because sometimes the spirit of discernment ain't no fun. You sit in front of somebody and say, "Yeah, preacher, I'm going to be in church Sunday." You know they're lying. They know you know they're lying, but they lie anyway. Spiritual discernment, sometimes not even fun. But the whole point is, when this young man comes to know Jesus Christ, God's going to put in him a capability only comes through the Spirit of God to serve in the local church. Are you available? Are you available? Hello, are you available? I don't read anywhere where you get too old, brother, to serve in the church. Can't read anywhere where you get too old. I guess you could get too sick. But anyway, spirit given for the profit of all. For to one is given word of wisdom through the Spirit. He's a little wiser than he would be otherwise. Another word of knowledge. He's pretty well sharp there. But it's because of God. Through the same Spirit. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, another faith by the same Spirit. It means that there's just not anything that would rattle him. Anything comes along, he says, "Well, praise the Lord, we'll just keep on going." You know, anybody like that has a spiritual gift of faith. Some have a spiritual gift of giving. And a former pastor said, they're a long time out of the 10% club. Give. God blesses generosity. Are you getting the point? God has an organization for the church. And He gives the individuals that He places in that church the gifts, the ability to serve the way that church needs it. The problem is, well, let me go back to parts of the body. What happens if I sprain my ankle? I limp. My leg don't want to work right. So it hampers the body. Are you getting the point? Somebody becomes weak and is not able or not willing to serve the Lord. Able, strike that out of there, because they're never not able, because God enables us to do what He wants us to do, right? Amen. If y'all amen me a little more, I'd hurry up and get through with this mess.
Amen.
Thank you. But you get the idea. Church organized, church disorganized, where are they going to go? All right, the second part is local church. There is such a thing as universal church. Here's the way I understand universal church: is anybody that came to Jesus Christ anytime in the past, anytime in the present, anytime in the future, anywhere in the world, they came to know Jesus Christ. They were saved by the grace of God. Holy Spirit now lives within them. That's the universal church. I maybe look forward to seeing the Apostle Paul. See what his stature was. Was he a little man that was bent over, who was ugly physically? What kind of man was he? You ever wonder about that? Maybe I'm the only one that's crazy. But it'll be great, you know. But that's the universal church. So in that sense, I belong to the same church as Loudmouth Peter did. Yeah. Same church. Universal church. Well, after all, he belonged to the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. That went over some of their heads, I think. First Baptist Church. I jokingly said that once at Oak Grove Baptist Church, and we got a man that has attended. I've been the only preacher he's heard now for 30, 35 years. The only one he's ever heard, but he's still Lutheran. So he came up to me afterwards, and I said, First Baptist Church, Jerusalem. He came up to me afterwards, and he said, Brother Ernie, I thought that was a Lutheran church. Local church. Let us consider the emphasis of the universal church as opposed to the local church. I say to you, this is one and the same. Oh, I realize that there is a universal church made up of every believer of every nation in each century since Christ ascended, but the major emphasis in the New Testament is about and to the local church. So I say to you again, loyalty to the church is loyalty to the local church. As a matter of fact, what did Jesus mean in the Gospel of Matthew when he said, if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. If he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and tax collector. Local church. Was he talking about universal church or local church? And what does the scripture refer to in the following verses? Now, don't faint. I'm not going to read every one of them, but I've got one here. I've got a whole page of verses of scripture that would emphasize there is a local church. I'll read a few of them for you. Romans 16:1, Paul writes, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Caesarea. Romans chapter 16, verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Churches. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Tertullus, I hope that's the way he said his name, who wrote this epistle. Let me give you a little extra here. Apparently, Paul had a clerk or a secretary, a stenographer, would that be a correct word to say there, that wrote down words for him. In other words, maybe he didn't just actually with his own hand write. In fact, you're pretty sure he didn't write in his own hand his, because one time he expresses, "I write in my own hand." And some people believe that he had trouble seeing, so he'd write really big. Anyway, I, Tertullus, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord, Gaius, my host, and the host of the whole church greets you. 1 Corinthians, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth. Are you catching on? Are you getting the point? Local church. 1 Corinthians 4:17, for this reason I sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord. He will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Colossians 4, greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Memphis and the church in his own house. I've got many, many more. Now I'm going to give it to you in a little bit. Okay? And you won't even owe me a dime for it. Okay? All right. Now, but I want to roll fast down to the end, and it's our Lord Himself talking. Have you got the endurance for me to finish this? Can you physically stand for me to finish this? This is yes, and this is no. Okay. All right, watch it, Paula. Revelation 1, my Lord Himself says, John, to the seven, well, I guess John is saying it here, but John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. Okay, since I made that particular blunder, what does John say, though? He said, I was on the Isle of Patmos for preaching of the word. I was put way out there, way from all my brethren, everybody. I'm there because I've insisted on preaching the gospel. And the Lord, I was in the Spirit of the Lord on the Lord's day. That's the secret. Was in the Spirit of the Lord on the Lord's day. John, to seven churches in Asia. Grace to you, peace from Him who is and was and is to come, and from the seven spirits that are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, faithful witness, firstborn from the dead, ruler over the kings of the earth. Verse 11, he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches that are in Asia. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. I say again to you, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is the reason for this church to exist. When He wants it to stop existing, He'll take care of it. So the church belongs to Jesus Christ. Church don't belong to Pastor Lester. The church doesn't belong to a board of deacons.
That's right. Amen.
Church doesn't belong to the person that has lived in that community and belonged to that church ever since it existed. They don't own the church. Christ does.
Amen.
If they own the church, it ain't church.
That's right.
It ain't church. And some people that decide they want to run the church need to bug out. They need to bug out. Now if you say, well, you've had it easy all year. You should have sat in a few deacons meetings that I had.
Yeah.
Yep. They'd have a deacons meeting and I wasn't there. Every time, every stinking time they'd get upset is when I wasn't there.
Yeah.
They'd get to yap, 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 yapping. They'd decide I wasn't doing my job. That happened 3 times. Third time, it's a charm. I called them in one at a time, sit across the desk in front of me. If you're going to make an accusation against me, you sit across the desk and you do it to me face to face. And I had 2 questions. One was, what's not being done that needs to be done? Guess how many times I had to ask the second question? You guessed it, none. None. I never got told anything needed to be done, wasn't being done. Now, I'm not saying I'm such a great guy. I'm just saying, you know what? My first play, one of them said, can't you take a reprimand? And I didn't say it to him because I would have been really mad and in his face. But what I thought was, what gives you the right to reprimand? I thought I was called by Jesus Christ. I thought I was called to this church, to pastor this church, by Jesus Christ, not by you, Buster.
Amen.
You know, I never had to ask that second question. Would you like to know what the second question was? If they had said anything that wasn't being done, needed to be done, I'd have pointed a finger at them and I'd have said, how are you going to help me do it?
Amen.
Come on.
Never was asked the second question. So I told my chairman, deacons, you're not going to have another deacons without me there. Oh, blah, blah. I said, you are not having another deacons meeting without me there. Because if I'm there, we'll tend to business. One meeting, deacons meeting, we would always have was to talk about church business. One meeting would be to talk about all of the families that were assigned to them to minister to in the church, was members of the church. I guess you'd be surprised when I went to Oak Grove and we organized out there, the only responsibility deacons have there, there's only 2 responsibilities they have. Minister to the families assigned to them. And if there's a problem in the church, they deal with the problem. Hello? And so we have our business part is done by a church council, which reaches far beyond the deacons to other officers that the church elected. And that's where we talk about business. I don't know why I got all of that in there. Lester, I guess, maybe, yeah, local church. So, Lord, please help me end this up. He said, I tried a long time ago. Oh. Jesus Christ is the reason for this church to exist. Amen.
Amen.
We are in the kingdom work. All things accomplished should be for His kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. He must be Lord of all we do. Who is He? Jesus Christ. The church is His bride. Loyalty to Christ is loyalty to the church. Loyalty to the church is loyalty to the local church. If there's a message in this for you, accept it. It's delivered in love. And it's what I felt inspired to do for at least this final time we have together. What's church mean to you? What's it mean to you? Are you ready and willing to do whatever Christ calls on you to do in your local church? I think if you'll read Timothy and Titus, you'll read what the pastor's responsibility is. And if I read it correctly, pastor's responsibility is to lead.
Check.
He's to lead. He's to lead. By the way, he hadn't paid me to say this. In fact, Brother Lester, I want to publicly thank you that you didn't sit and talk to me since I came here to be with you and tell me all the problems you got. He's not told me any problems that the church has. And I appreciate that, because that left me at liberty to preach whatever God put on my heart and brought out of my stupid mouth to you. You can, if you blame anybody, you can blame the Lord or blame me, because he hadn't told me a thing. You haven't told me a thing. Now, I know a few things, but I heard it from other sources. So, folks, this is what the Lord has for you to consider. The question is, are you willing? Are you ready? Are you available?